This message is part of the educational ministry of Columbia International University. We've been preparing world Christians to know Him and to make Him known since 1923.
I wanted to interview Coach and ask two or three questions because they have responded to this tragedy in an outstanding way, in a victorious manner. One that really, I believe, brought a lot of glory and pleasure to the Lord. Coach, was this a difficult experience?
Oh, yeah. That was actually the first time I've ever seen that video.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. close relationship with your neighbors, right?
Exactly. So, yeah. I've seen pictures.
Yeah, yeah. And roasting marshmallows, what happened?
A lightning bolt apparently struck the roof of the house, and kids were playing in the front yard, and they went back and told their parents, "Hey, I think something's wrong, Mom. We might need to call somebody," and called the fire department.
I'm glad they did, and didn't start throwing other things in the fire and get it going really big. So,
it'd be nice.
Yeah, no, it wouldn't be nice.
It wouldn't be nice. But
now, have you had anything this difficult ever in your whole life?
No. I mean, it was, this past summer was kind of, getting married was a high, but health-wise.
Still is, right?
Still is a high. It stays there.
All right.
Health-wise, it was kind of a rough summer, just getting back healthy to where I can.
You had your appendix out.
Had my appendix out. I was in a boot for 4 weeks. So as a cross-country coach who still runs, it's kind of hard to run when you have a big boot that you kind of have to hobble around on, so that. That made it tough, but yeah, this was by far the toughest.
Now, how did this impact your faith and trust in the Lord?
Huge. I've never really, through hard times, through high school, college, even a year or two after college, I never really fully trusted in God through hard times, and kind of CIU, being at CIU, students, it's an outstanding place because when you're the president of the university shows up when your house is on fire that night to pray with you, it kind of shows you that, hey, this is how you should respond and act. And so it's been amazing having support in Nicole, somebody there to really make sure that you respond well and trust in God and not. As a man, guys, you all know this year, we're tough enough to handle anything until that one thing happens that you're not tough enough to handle. and that's the circumstance where you just need to lay it up to Him and say, all right, you have a plan. I'm going to trust in it and I'm going to get through it.
And and so many of us really saw in both of you this real trust in the Lord. He had made much of the furniture that was in the house that was burned. He had made it by hand. So you can imagine preparing this house for his new bride and then goes away to the office that morning, comes home that afternoon, and it's gone. I mean, just gone. So it had to be tough, but yet they responded in a way that reflects the victorious Christian life. What were some of the things that kept you, both of you, really focused on continuing to trust and depend on the Lord?
Say a few things. God just kept putting in my heart, in my mind, kind of what I talked about is God's, you hear a lot that God won't put you in any circumstance that you can't get through. My thought is God puts you in those circumstances all the time so that you trust in Him and He'll get you through those circumstances. 'Cause even as a, supposedly a healthy, active, coach who's a coach over athletes and has people look up to me. That just kept going through my head of I'm not strong enough to do that and I'm not strong enough to get through it. And so the only way that I can get through it is really to look to Him. And then just having, like I said before, the support from CIU, from family, friends, even local churches who had a student who went to that church and said, hey, can we help out in some way? We had a church come and help us do an inventory of everything we had in the house one day. And I've never met anybody in that church except for one of my runners who said to the pastor, hey, let's do it. And so having that support system of you know, really wanting to help and just saying that, hey, we're there to pray for you and can we do anything, and not trying to fix the situation, really just kind of strengthened Nicole and I. And we made, we kind of have a, not a vow, but where every night we either pray together or read a chapter or two of the Bible. Just with everything going on, we knew we had to stay in the Word. We had to stay with that close relationship. Otherwise, things would fall apart.
A tremendous example. Thank you. We love you guys. And you know, it reminds me of a verse. This, no need to turn to this verse. This is just the verse it reminded me of watching them this summer. It's 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. It says, do not be surprised, brethren, at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your own testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing so the day of exaltation you may so the day of the revelation of His glory you may rejoice with exaltation. This year, the President's Chapels, about once a month, I have the privilege of speaking to you during chapel. We're going to be talking about this topic, faith during fires. Faith during fires. Now, why the topic of faith? Well, it's one of our five core values. We have five values that we hold tightly to: the authority of Scripture, the necessity of the Spirit-filled life. Or you may hear it said in different ways: authentic Christian living, a victorious Christian living, the priority of world evangelization, evangelical unity, and the fifth one, prayer and faith. So why this topic? It's one of our core values. Another reason, our year's verse, Mark chapter 11, verse 24. I've been spending a lot of time in the last six chapters of Mark. In this particular verse, it's very simple. Jesus, just the day before, he's cursed the fig tree. Peter sees it the next day and he says, teacher, look, the fig tree which you have cursed is withered. And Jesus says to them, to the rest of Peter and the rest of the disciples, he says, very simple, simply, have faith in God. Very powerful verse. Have faith in God. The third reason, we have launched a historic fundraising campaign. And we're calling it Forward in Faith, because there is no way we'll be able to accomplish it on our own. If you take what we call the annual fund and put it together with this fundraising campaign, we're trusting God for $45 million. That'll help us with new programs for you and preparing for the future, particularly in the area of financial aid. And I'll come back to that in just a second. We've launched this summer our new strategic plan. Every 3 years, we roll out a new strategic plan. And this year, it's called Faith. And every spring, I give an update to the student body on where we are on that. But the first one, the F, stands for funding for student scholarships. The second one, academic programming. The third one is initiatives that take place online. Then the T is transformation of the campus. One of our biggest goals is to build ski slopes. And lastly, the H is harvesters for the world evangelization, whether it's in this country or some other country. But actually, selfishly, the reason I wanted us to deal with this topic is because I personally need more faith. But yet it's framed in a very negative perspective on faith during fires. So why the focus on fires? We heard someone say here in chapel in the spring, everyone is either coming out of some kind of fiery ordeal, or you're in the midst of a fiery ordeal, or one day you're going to find yourself in a fiery ordeal. And unfortunately, I've seen many people fall away from their relationship with the Lord when they experience these tough times. But as Judd and Nicole have shown us, this can result in some very powerful benefits that bring God much glory. So we want to respond in the way God wants us to respond. And we do that, it becomes a very positive topic because it shows what the victorious Christian life is all about. And if you leave with anything during your time here at CIU, we want you to leave with an understanding and a practice of walking in the way God wants us to walk, a walk of victory, a walk filled with the Spirit, a walk that brings Him much glory and honor and pleasure. So today we're going to look at part one on this series, Faith During Fires. And part one is on maintaining the proper perspective during these fiery ordeals. Maintaining the proper perspective. And it's coming from our passages, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 32 through 39. So as you turn there, let me give you a little bit of the context. The Christian Jews, the Jews who've trusted Christ, these Hebrew Christians, they're going through a fiery ordeal. Their situation is they're going through persecution. And it's so tough on them, so difficult, they find themselves tempted just to give up. To give up on their faith in Christ. Now, it's interesting. I must really have gotten into this, my heart, my mind. It's one thing for me to get into a passage of Scripture. It's another thing for the passage of Scripture to get into me. Does that make sense? I can do my preparation, but it's only through meditation and prayer that the passage gets into me. And I don't know if it was the prayer that got into me, but last night, sweetheart, you remember me turning over and telling you this? Last night, I woke up startled. Now, granted, before I went to bed, I was doing some reading online about what's taking place in Egypt. And one of our graduates, he just emailed our chancellor, Dr. Murray, about a half a dozen or so churches of personal friends that had been burned. He emailed me a picture of a bookstore, a Christian bookstore. There have been 58 churches that have been burned in Egypt during this difficult time in which they find themselves. And I had been reading about the persecution of some friends in Turkey. And I've been reading also yesterday, or maybe the day before, about persecution of some friends in Uzbekistan, Central Asia. So all this is on my mind. And last night I jolted awake because I was with some Christians in some closed access country. And they were all dressed like they were from Holland. I don't know where that came from. But so I was with these Dutch people, and there were two graduates, one that, CIU graduates, one who graduated last year and one who graduated about 50 years ago. And the three of us were up in the attic and we were hiding because we had to sneak out this Christian CD that had all the information about Christianity in this Dutch closed country. And so here we are, we're hiding, being very quiet because everything's going on downstairs. And suddenly I look down and there's a laser shining on me, and I didn't watch any Shoot 'em Up Bang Bang movie last night. I watched a thing on Nova about shrinking technology. And so, but anyway, I had this laser, and I'm like, the bad guys are about to shoot me. And I wake up, and I tell Debbie, everything's okay. Well, the first 10 chapters, what the author of Hebrews does, he talks about the primacy of Jesus Christ. And it's a wonderful exposition of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done for you and for me. And then when you get to chapters 11, 12, and 13, he talks about the priority of faith. And what we're doing this morning, this little paragraph we find ourselves, it's this bridge, a transition where he's coming out of who Christ is and into we must trust him. And then what he's going to do, and we'll talk about our next President's Chapel, is what is faith in Christ? What does it look like? So for now, let's read together. Verse 32, 33, and 34. But remember the former days when after being enlightened, okay, they now they understand Christ in a new way, a personal way. catch this, it's past tense, you endured a great conflict of sufferings. And then he gives two different ways. Partly by, you might want to circle that, partly by being made a public spectacle through reproaches and tribulations. And, circle that next little phrase, the rest of you, not all of you experience these reproaches and tribulations, some of you, by becoming sharers with those who were so treated. There was this empathy. Our house didn't burn down, but the CIU family, we really empathize with what the Brookers went through. They went through the trial. We empathize. We all experienced it on some level. Verse 34. Well, those, that second group, you showed sympathy to the prisoners. In the first group, you accepted joyfully the seizure of your property, knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and a lasting one. When we find ourselves in the midst of a fiery ordeal, the way we respond in a positive manner to a negative situation is first, according to these verses, we must recall the times in the past when we demonstrated endurance in a manner that pleased God. So recall your past endurance. Recall your past endurance. I believe I mentioned this pastor about 3 years ago. I had the privilege of being in Sudan when Sudan, it was on July the 10th, Sudan separated into Sudan and the Republic of South Sudan. And I did not get to meet this pastor myself, but my friend was with him and took this picture. He lives in that band, that middle portion near the Nuba Mountains in Sudan, where the Muslims are persecuting in a severe manner the Christians of the south. The Muslims in the north are persecuting the Christians in the south. And they took this pastor, and I finally have the pictures now, and they threw him on the hot rocks that get to be about 130 degrees during the summer there in North Africa. And the heat, the intensity of the heat burned off the digits of his hands and on his feet. Now, my friend and others were there, and they were thinking, oh, this poor man. And so they asked him, how can we pray for you? And his response was, pray that I can continue to fulfill the purpose God has placed on my life. He looked back at his past tribulation, this past difficulty, and God, just like the Brookers were saying, I love that little takeaway. I realized how, Coach said, I realized how weak I really am. That made me realize how strong He, God, really is. And so as this pastor looked back, if God can get me through that, He can get me through this. If I endured what happened in the past, I can continue enduring what's happening in the present. And it's the same for us. If the Brookers can go through their tribulation, their fiery ordeal, this pastor can go through his fiery ordeal, and they come out on the other side stronger in their faith, then surely you and I can do the same through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's the beauty, or may I say the secret, although it's not a secret, of the victorious Christian life. So, when you find yourself in a fiery ordeal, or if you're going through one right now, first way to gain the proper perspective is look to the past and find God's faithfulness. And if He took care of you then, He'll take care of you now. Secondly, let's read the next two verses, verses 35 and 36. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need, here's that word again, you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, okay, once I finish the will of God, so now it's kind of projecting out to the future, once you've done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. Well, what was promised? This great reward. Well, give me an example, a better possession and a lasting one from verse 34. It's a relationship with Christ for all eternity. It's a place in heaven for all eternity. Whatever I'm going through now, it pales in comparison to what one day I will receive. Now, last spring, the movie The Hobbit came out. And I think of all the movies, The Lord of the Rings has to rank up there in my top three, at least as a series. It's in the top three. And so I was thinking, how do you communicate visually what's taking place now and how tough it is and how difficult it is and how much of a problem it is to keep hanging in there, trusting on the Lord, relying on the Lord. And there's this scene, Frodo and Samwise, they're there, the mountain there in Mordor. And it's now all these tribulations are weighing down so heavily on Frodo. He says to Samwise, I can't go any further. You know, sweetheart, I've had my appendix out. I'm having trouble running. The house is burned. All that furniture's gone. It's too much. I quit. I give up. And what Samwise does, he starts pointing to the future. And Tolkien's this Christian author, and he knows what he's doing. He's painting these analogies. And he begins to tell Frodo, do you remember the Shire? Do you remember the strawberries and cream? Do you remember walking in the grass? Bless Frodo's heart, he goes, no, I don't remember it. And Samwise says, well, you know, I'm just going to pick you up and carry you. And there are times we need to be carried by brothers and sisters. But what this passage does, it says, if you want to live the victorious Christian life in the midst of these fiery ordeals, look to the future. Your house may burn up, but one day we're going to walk in the presence of Jesus himself. He's going to hand us, now, I think this is figurative, to hand us the keys of these heavenly mansions, which make our current earthly dwellings look like shacks. So, Lord, I'm having a hard time now. Scripture says, look to the future. It's going to get better. You just have need of endurance. Don't throw it away right now. Keep on keeping on. Well, there's one last one. Let's look at these last few three verses, verses 37 through 39. He says, for yet in a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back. We're talking about the present now. You see his current circumstances. We are not of those who shrink back to destruction. But we are of those who have faith to the persevering of the soul. It's almost like he's saying, God took care of us in the past. He'll take care of us in the present. Yeah, the present may be very tough right now, but the future is going to be so, so much better. So keep on keeping on in the present. Live by faith. Have faith. Continue in that faith. This is a picture. This is not the child. This is a very similar to what the child ended up looking like. A friend of mine was a missionary with her family in Africa, and the child was severely burned by a fire. My friend and her husband took two completely different directions, responded two completely different ways in response to their fiery ordeal. The husband left the faith. The wife continued on. Was it easy? Absolutely not. But the third step here in this passage is we must rest in our current circumstances. How can I rest? Because the God who got me through in the past is the God who's going to get me through in the present. And when he gets me through in the present, even though this is terrible, on the other side it's going to be better. I'm going to grow. I'm going to bring him glory. But one day in the future, it's going to be unbelievable. Brothers and sisters, this Sudanese pastor can go through it, their fiery ordeal. If the Brookers can go through their fiery ordeal. If this lady can go through her child being severely harmed, her husband leaving her. Yet you'd never guess it. She's one of the most joyful, attractive in terms of personality and attitude, people you'll ever meet. If they can go through it, we can. So this year, we're going to look at faith during fires. How do we keep the faith during fiery ordeals? Today, we must learn that we must maintain the proper perspective. That's victorious Christian living. Well, how do we do that? Recall your past endurance. God got you through it in the past. He'll get you through it now. Look to the future. Oh, Lord, what a glorious time that will be. And I'm rejoicing now. It's not here yet. It's like when you're kids at Christmas. Oh, it's not here yet. I can't wait, though, before it gets here. I'm so looking forward to it. And then rest in your current circumstances. That is the victorious Christian life.
We hope you were blessed by this message. Additional audio messages and learning resources are available at www.ciu.edu/bookstore or call 803-807-5263. Messages are also available by podcast at iTunes. CIU is a regionally accredited biblical university offering undergraduate and graduate degree programs. Our purpose is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for letting us minister to you today.